From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, tragedy in Nashville, Chinese land grab, and the need for Christ in the lives of people. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative Christian husband and Reagan Republican. On Wednesday of this week, just 2 days after the tragic shooting at a Christian school in Nashville, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins was joined by Pastor Jack Hibbs to talk about how the church should respond. Here's how Tony introduced the topic.
Well, as the nation continues to reflect on this week's senseless attack on innocent Christians, children, three adults, three children in Nashville, we're reminded that solutions, quite frankly, will not come based upon legislation that comes from the city, but from repentance from sin and turning our eyes to God. Now, I know that I've said this, and I'll say it every time. There are those who will mock that idea, but as believers, as Christians, the Bible is very clear about that, and history is very clear about this, and this begins with prayer. Joining me now to discuss this is Pastor Jack Hibbs, founding and lead pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in California. Pastor Jack, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you very much.
You and I have been texting back and forth, and you know, our hearts are grieving over this attack on these children and these adults at this Christian school, a theologically conservative church and school. What does this say about our nation?
Tony, it's not only something that is catastrophic to the people of Nashville, but the nation, but certainly most importantly, the very family of God. In light of all of this, the part that is most sobering, in my opinion, Tony, for the believer who knows the Word of God, we can detect, we discern what's going on. In other words, as tragic as this is, none of it has surprised us. Jesus told us that we would be trending in the direction of what we're seeing in our media, in our nation. And so we're not caught off guard, but it doesn't take away the sting, the disgust, and the pain of what we're seeing. But God knows, He warned us, and He told us that very, very bad things would happen when a nation forgets God. And that's where we're at right now, Tony. You know that very well.
Yeah, it was interesting. The governor of Tennessee, who is a believer, he said, the battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. The struggle is against evil itself. And we cannot forget that. And that's where this is not about gun control. It's not about mental health. This is right. About evil. And it's interesting that we see increasingly or repeatedly our children are being targeted. Now, I predicted this, and it's become the storylines in many of these news reports that this is because transgender people have not been accepted by parents and by the church, and Christianity is the problem, and so we just need to back away from biblical truth, and everybody will be okay.
Well, Tony, there is actually a compliment, and there is a validation by that criticism, meaning this: man kicks back from the very one and from the very truth who loves him. The Christian church loves the transgender LGBTQ community, but we love them enough to do something what most people are not willing to take on. And that is, we love them enough to say, and by the way, it goes to adulterers and adulteresses.
Right.
You need to come out of this relationship or this experiment because it will damage you. It will hurt you. It will lead you into hopelessness. So when they try to flip it on us, frankly, it's not going to work. I just refuse to allow them to label us that way. I see what's going on. I understand. I used to be a kid once, and I've got grandkids, that you blame the one that's telling you you can't have the cookies until you eat your dinner. And so what's going on is the church is under attack. Again, not surprising. Jesus said it would be like this. Oh, yeah, exactly. And so we want to keep loving any community, including a religious community, that's drifting away from God. We want to bring them to God. And so people don't want to hear that. So when we speak the truth and we do it in love, Tony, there's going to be a natural split. The truth will always divide. And we cannot let our emotions get involved in that division of it. because truth has that effect. It separates, as it were, the wheat from the chaff. Here's the thing. We want all of those who are experiencing hopelessness in the transgender LGBTQ community to understand that Jesus loves them. It's true. He hates their sin. He died for them. But he loves them enough to bring them out of that world, like he brought me out of the world that I was in, and make me a new person. They need to hear about the hope. Right. When they don't want the hope, Tony, then they're going to do everything to justify themselves.
I mean, it's just like God told the prophet Ezekiel, you speak the words I have given you. We, as believers, as followers of Christ, we have to speak the word of God. It's very clear on this. So thanks so much for joining us.
Mutual, my friend.
All right. As my battle buddy, Pastor Jack Hibbs. All right, coming up, China. They're buying up U.S. farmland. Why and what can be done about it? Senator James Lankford is here next.
In October 2016, Pastor Andrew Brunson was falsely accused of terrorism and held for 2 years in Turkish prisons. Believers worldwide began to pray, and after 2 years of captivity, he was released. Since then, Andrew has felt an urgency for Christians in the West to prepare for a coming wave of hostility. To equip Christ followers, Brunson launched an 8-part video series titled Prepared to Stand. Watch this series by going to frc.org/preparedtostand.
All right, Chinese investments in U.S. agricultural land now totals nearly 394,000 acres, almost double what it was just 3 years ago. Now, to be fair, China is not the largest foreign investor in U.S. farmland. That would be Canada. But the specific location of many of these acquisitions near crucial infrastructure and even military bases is raising concerns in Congress toward both the motive and the potential consequences of these purchases. Join me now to discuss this is Senator James Lankford. He serves on 5 Senate committees, including the Senate Homeland Security Committee and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He represents the state of Oklahoma. Senator Lankford, welcome back to the program.
Good to see you again, Tony.
So this is something that's actually been, and I've been doing a lot on China ever since they sanctioned me. I knew that there's issues with China. And this just actually came across my screen earlier this week about the farmland that they're buying up. You're raising this issue as it pertains to Oklahoma, but it's a problem across the nation. Tell us about it.
It is. It's a problem nationwide because the Chinese are very specific on the land that they're actually going after. And there's already in law that you can buy within a mile of a military installation. But the problem is that they'll buy just outside that, or they'll buy land near it, or they'll buy land oversight or land around our critical infrastructure or internet connections, cell towers. And in my state in Oklahoma, Chinese criminal organizations are buying up land and then raising marijuana that they can actually ship across the entire country and are literally trafficking people into the state, trafficking prostitutes as well as labor to be able to come into the state and put up armed guards around their grow facilities. It's a remarkable transition where the Chinese are being exceptionally aggressive to basically exploit our law and the lack of oversight in that area and to be able to come take up land.
Is all of this that's being done within the confines of the law?
Well, here's the gap that we have right now. If you are going to do less than 10 acres, there's no oversight on that at all for foreign purchasing. If you're going to do a 99-year lease, there's no oversight on that currently. And there's also nothing called what's called the CFIUS process. This is the Committee on International Foreign Investment in the United States. And so when a foreign entity is going to buy a healthcare company or a technology company, whatever it may be, they have to get approval through the CFIUS process. But if you're buying land, you don't have to do that. That's a big gap in our law, and the Chinese are exploiting it right now, and I'm trying to close that loophole.
I would think that Chinese companies would be near the top of the list of countries we would be concerned about coming in, given our relationship with them and what we know they're attempting to do.
Yeah, it should be if it's not. So Chinese companies, Russian companies, Iranian companies, and North Korean company, if they came in, they're not coming because they have nowhere else to invest. They have a very specific reason to try to get onto our soil. And as any farmer or rancher will tell you, there's a limited supply of some things, and top on that list is land. So when they come in, they'll pay cash, they'll pay a high amount, they'll mess up all the property values in the area, but they're also specifically buying land for their particular use in the Chinese Communist Party or Chinese criminal organizations that the Communist Party just overlooks. And they know what they're doing and why they're here. They're just overlooking it. Last time I was on the southern border in El Paso, we watched them actually arrest two Chinese nationals coming across the border that we don't know why they were coming in. But this is the nature of trafficking more and more Chinese citizens into the country that are crossing our border illegally on our southern border. And then Chinese owners actually buying property here.
So, Senator, you've introduced legislation that would help protect American land. I mean, I think farmland is very important because that's how we get our food. It's called the Soil Act. Tell us about it.
It is. The Soil Act closes this loophole about international purchasing. If you don't have some kind of connection, which is called the CFIUS process, to get some kind of approval, you can't do it. And again, this is not going to block out Canadians, or if there's an Italian group that wants to be able to build wind towers in some place, it doesn't diminish any of that. But it focuses specifically on China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. If they're buying land in our country, there's a reason for that. And we should have an extra hurdle for them to be able to go through an inspection, to be able to say no before the purchase actually goes through. And it closes some of the loopholes that are there about the size of the property they're buying, or about this 99-year lease process they use to sometimes try to skirt around the law, even around military bases.
How has the administration responded to this?
So far, they've not been opposed to it, which I'm grateful for. We continue to be able to put it out. Most everyone, Democrat and Republican, are nodding their head and saying this is something we need to be able to handle. Initially, the administration didn't want the Department of Agriculture involved in everything on the CFIUS process. And they laughed and said, I don't want it either. That just takes up more time for the ag groups. But they do need to be at the table when it's land that they're actually purchasing.
Very quickly, just got about 15 seconds left. China has said they don't want to see Speaker McCarthy meet with the Taiwanese president during her planned stop in California. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I was very supportive of Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan and said that publicly. I'm also supportive of Speaker McCarthy meeting with the Taiwanese leader. We're Americans. We meet with who we choose to meet with.
I agree 100%. I don't think we should be bullied at all on our own soil. It's incredible, the brazenness of the Chinese. Senator James Lankford, always great to see you, my friend. Thanks for joining us today.
It's great to see you again, Tony.
All right, Senator James Lankford of the Sooner State. All right, after the break, I think actor and author Kirk Cameron's going to be joining us. Also still to come, we're going to be hearing from Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri. So a lot more Washington Watch still to press into this few minutes we've got remaining. So don't go away. We're going to be back with more. And be sure and join us tonight. That would be 10 p.m. Eastern time. I know that's late on the East Coast, but it's prayer for the nation. So you can go to TonyPerkins.com and find out more. All right, don't go away. We're going to be right back with more Washington Watch in just a moment.
Finding a reliable news source can be a real challenge, until now. The Washington Stand, Family Research Council's online daily news outlet, provides news and commentary on the biggest issues of the day, all written from a biblical worldview. Find the facts with real reporting so that you know how to stand firm in the midst of the challenges of our day. Stay informed, be encouraged, and stand firm in the truth by visiting WashingtonStand.com.
It's so important for Christians to learn how to apply their faith to the big issues and questions everyone is talking about today, which is why Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview presents Now We Live, a six-week video series created in partnership with Summit Ministries. This free Biblical Worldview series will spark rich discussions about some of life's most foundational questions and challenge you to think about topics you see every day in a whole new way. Access this important series by going to frc.org/worldview.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, as I've discussed throughout the program, we live in a culture, quite frankly, that mocks biblical truth and demands the embrace of obvious lies. They want you to be silent in the face of these lies, if not celebrate them. Well, nothing less than full support of this is acceptable to the transgender crusade. The sad reality was evident this week when local politicians and activist groups tried to shut down a story hour taking place right here in Washington, D.C., a public library featuring our good friend, Christian actor and author Kirk Cameron, and other conservative writers. What is so scary? What is so scary to them about Christian authors reading books? Well, joining me now here in studio to discuss this event is author and actor Kirk Cameron. Kirk, welcome back to the program.
Great to see you, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you here in studio. Thanks for dropping by. So you just came from the library. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we just came from the library, Cleveland Park Library, and we had a great turnout of families. We had actually sort of a dream team of authors there from Brave Books, and these were books including my book on the fruit of the Spirit and biblical wisdom to a book about fostering trust between parents and children rather than kids keeping secrets from their parents, which kids are being taught to do now in schools, and other topics. So Sean Spicer was there, Jack Posobiec was there, Haya Reichick was there from Libs of TikTok. I was there reading my book, and it was a great time with parents and kids, and it was great.
You know, Washington, D.C. is a very tolerant city, isn't it? Because we had a politician earlier this week tweet out about your event. She said, shut it down. But it wasn't.
No, it wasn't shut down at all. So, sometimes there's a lot more bark than there is bite. I mean, these are wholesome, family-oriented, faith-filled, patriotic events where we actually go outside of the library and we gather in Nashville. It was in the rain, underneath umbrellas, 800 people singing the national anthem and God Bless America, praying in front of the library and then reading books about how to apply solutions to the problems in America.
What I like about this and what I think people like about it, that's why there's such a movement surrounding this, is that this is a way to simply make a statement by doing the right thing and offering an alternative. I mean, they have these drag queen story hours, and we can show up and, you know, if you want to protest, that's fine. You can protest. But rather, why not do something positive? Why not provide the alternative, i.e. the truth, to these children, which is exactly what you're doing, and people are responding in a very positive way.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do. And as I travel the country, I recognize that this cultural moment is requiring us to provide solutions, not just talk about more problems. That's right. What people want. It's what they need is solutions. And so I'm trying to provide some inspiration and encouragement that drives positive action. One guy can't save the nation. A political figure can't. An entertainment figure can't. What we need is for the people, the grassroots, the moms and dads, the grandparents, the business owners, and we need to elect representatives. You know, one of the things that I appreciate about you is that you're so great at helping us understand principles of the Constitution. We keep looking at these political figures as our leaders. Well, wait a minute, they're not really our leaders. We're the leaders, and they're supposed to be representing us. And so we need to actually lead well, or we create a vacuum, and they will rush in there and lead poorly with a value system that actually leads to tyranny. So that's what we're trying to do is push that responsibility back down to the parents and to the grassroots level.
And again, I applaud it. I think it's great. But I want to go a little deeper. You talk about solutions and the campfire revival. Mm. What America needs, yes, this is good. Electing good, God-fearing political leaders, that's good. It all takes its place, but the foundation must be a people that return to God and recognize him and their dependence upon him.
Yeah, and you've been talking about that all day and every day. That is where we need to go, and we need to go beyond just talking about this, and we need to actually put feet to our faith. The American Campfire Revival was another opportunity during the first 100 days of the Biden administration to say, okay, that administration has a 100-day plan for the nation. What's our plan? What's our plan as the family of faith? And I think that God's Word has something to say about that. And it begins with humbling ourselves, praying, turning from our wicked ways, and then God stepping in and unleashing blessing. And that brings me great hope, because if my hope was that every pagan leader and force of darkness in the country was going to get converted in order to save the country, I don't know that I'd have a whole lot of hope. But what God says is that, no, Don't worry about them. If my people, if you get it right and get your eyes off all of these other distractions and turn them back to me and walk in my ways, I will push them away. But if you don't, I will bring them and they will discipline you and teach you the lessons you need to learn as my children.
And therein lies one of the greatest challenges, because in order to do that, just to acknowledge our dependence upon God, even as a family today, let alone a church and a community, it's going to bring conflict.
Yeah.
And many of us, you know, people don't believe this about me, but I don't like conflict. And so as Christians, I think we're basically rule followers. We don't like conflict, and so we tend to back away from it. But Jesus said, you know, there's going to be conflict if you stand for truth. And I think we live in an age as Christians, we just have to come to terms with that. That it doesn't mean that we're, you know, that it's a bad thing. Sometimes conflict leads to resolution and results.
I think that's exactly right. When I think of our founders, they weren't rioters. They weren't insurrectionists. These weren't rebels. These were men and women who so valued individual liberty under God. They so valued a future that would allow their children to have religious liberty, economic liberty, political liberty, that they were willing to do the thing that they hated to accomplish what they wanted, which was to secure their God-given rights to their children. They didn't right. want to do this. This was a last resort. They understood the biblical principles of resistance to tyranny. They read Lex Rex. They understand that there are lower magistrates that apply first to conflict, but eventually you get to the place where there is no other appeal but right. an appeal to heaven, and there must be conflict.
And when that comes, we stand firmly on biblical truth. And it could not be clearer to me in this battle over human sexuality as God has designed us and created us to be. Not only is the Bible very clear on this, science is clear on this, and we should not hesitate to stand for this truth.
Yeah, we have to. If we don't stand for the basic building blocks of the family and the distinction between male and female, what will we stand for? And if we won't stand for the responsibility to protect the hearts and minds of our children, our toddlers, then when will we ever stand? And so that's why I've written this book, As You Grow. That's why I'm going out across the country reading in these public libraries. I'm trying to be one candle that lights a torch that can spread into a fire in the hearts of parents. I want to see a great awakening in this country, and my hope is that the Bible and history tell us that it's during times of moral decline, spiritual apathy, and economic collapse that revivals take place. So I believe, Tony, that this national setback we've been experiencing is really a divine setup for a spiritual comeback led by the family of faith.
If we respond.
That's right.
Because you're right. Everything that people trust in is imploding. And so if we lead the way, I think you're absolutely right. It is set up for a return to God. All right, how can folks keep up with what you're doing and how they might? What's next on the schedule? Where will you be next?
We'll be going to Scottsdale, Arizona next for another public library reading of this book, As You Grow. And you can find out more about our library readings at bravebooks.com. You can sign up for the Book of the Month Club. It'll bring one of these books. There's many in the series to your door every month. And you can follow me on Facebook. That'd be the best place to check out what I'm doing.
When's Scottsdale?
Scottsdale is going to be, I believe it's April 13th, 14th, 15th, okay. Somewhere around there.
Good, good. Kirk Cameron, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, brother.
Always good to see you.
Thank you. You too.
And we'll be tracking you and see where you're going next. All right.
Okay.
Scottsdale, Arizona coming up. Well, folks, as details continue to emerge in the Nashville shooting at a Christian school in which a biological woman who identified as a man killed three students and three staff members, there are increased calls for authorities to investigate this wicked act of violence as a hate crime targeting Christians for their biblical beliefs. Joining me now to discuss this and more, Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, who has introduced a resolution condemning the violence as a hate crime. Senator Hawley, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony.
So reports indicate the shooter targeted the school and not any specific individual, but these were children and staff killed because they were at a Christian school, and the law enforcement has said there was an issue that this young woman had against a school. Do you think we can expect the Biden administration to investigate this as a hate crime?
Well, no, but they should. And this is why I wrote to the FBI director and the Secretary of Homeland Security yesterday demanding that they open a hate crime investigation. Look, Tony, you know the law. It's clear. If you commit an act of violence or attempt to commit an act of violence against an American based on their religious affiliation, that is a hate crime. That's what we have here. I mean, based on what the Nashville PD is telling us, that this was targeted, as you just said, she didn't randomly choose this school. She targeted this school. This is a Christian school. These were students at that school, employees of the school. These people were targeted based on their affiliation with the institution. There needs to be a hate crime investigation because, Tony, we've got to stop this from happening to other Christian schools and places of faith in the future.
Senator, the legacy media has jumped into action, painting this violence as a reaction against legislation that actually protects kids from these experimental gender treatments like your state of Missouri is being very aggressive to try to stop this. It's about churches and Christians that hold to a view of human sexuality as defined by the Bible. But isn't this really just a natural result of the dangerous rhetoric of the left on these issues?
Well, I would hope that all of these groups, all of these so-called human rights groups, would be out there condemning this as the hate crime that it is. I mean, that's the real test of their any moral authority. If they want to be taken seriously at all and have any kind of authority to speak into this right now, they need to first say, we condemn this hate crime. We condemn hateful rhetoric and speech, hateful speech that leads to crimes. I mean, that's what they ought to say. The problem is so many of these groups have engaged in this kind of hate speech. They've talked about a day of genocide. They've accused Christians of genocide, and they've talked about days of vengeance against anybody who opposes them. You know, I mean, Tony, I got to tell you, I mean, that is walking right up to the line of incitement, where they're actually encouraging people like this woman who is clearly mentally unstable. I mean, who knows? This is why we need a hate crime investigation to find out what influenced her. There's apparently a manifesto, so-called. We need to know what's in it. You know, what is it that was driving her?
Right.
And all of these groups need to renounce hate speech that leads to violence.
You're absolutely right. And I appreciate you stepping out and making that statement, because I know the left doesn't like it, which tells me it's the right thing to do. Senator Josh Hawley, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for phoning in and joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.